Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Off the ball.
Rugby.
He's come through a pretty good rugby career and a very strong coaching career, but nothing was handed to him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland pod
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hello and welcome along as we look ahead to the penultimate round of matches in the League of Ireland Premier Division. Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn with me, Stephen Doyle, as ever. The League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. You can hear live and exclusive national radio commentary of Galway United versus Drogheda United. Jonathan Higgins and Shane Keegan in situ for that game this Friday night on News Talk, and of course on the Go Loud app, and the build-up from the game or to the game from around 7 up till kick-off at 7:45. And of course Off the Ball is where you get all the best coverage, as well as the podcast here. You can also listen to LOI Late Night with Ben Symes on the X platform after all of the live action on Friday evening. Now I should tell you as well, special bonus, the Off the Ball Roadshow is heading to the Sugar Club next Wednesday, the 29th, for a huge night of stories, crack and football. Make sure you get your tickets and come down for Off the Ball's League of Ireland season review. There's some very special guests on the night discussing the season's biggest moments, looking ahead to the men's FAI Cup final, as well as celebrating Athlone Town, the women's FAI Cup winners. You can get your tickets for that event at the Sugar Club at offtheball.com/events. Now, lads, the action. Galway United versus Drogheda United coming up on Friday night, as I mentioned, part of our live and exclusive commentaries. That match on Friday, and it's one of two really, really big games taking place on Friday night because there's so much riding on it for all four teams. St. Pat's are hosting Waterford. And actually, before we get into those two games on Friday, I mentioned St. Pat's. Any kind of views, lads, from yourselves on that game against Bohemians on Monday night?
I think it was a good game, Stephen. It was actually, I think the commentators probably, I didn't get to the Daily Mail. Commentators probably built it up as if it was a little bit better than it was, but it was still a really good game. It was a bit of a throwback. I think the weather and the pitch being quite heavy sort of added it to it a little bit. It was a bit of a throwback game. Really impressed with Bowles at times, which I have been for 18 months, nearly 2 years. But ultimately, it was a bit more the same from Bowles. Never got over the line in terms of creating enough chances and or ultimately took enough of them. I thought they were the better side on the night. Pats, we done the commentary game, Pats and Rovers on Friday, Steve-O, and they were probably one of the best performances we've seen in a long time. There is this culture of changing teams when you go Friday and Monday. I don't always agree with it, but I felt Pat's probably missed the trick. Maybe someone like McClellan coming into the team, just one or two. They looked a little bit leggy, particularly in midfield where Bowles are so strong. And I think both of them will be disappointed in the results because it probably suits Derry and Chels, obviously, a lot more Androtta than the two teams involved. So it was a really good game for a Monday night, but I think both teams will feel very disappointed, and both of them probably showed why they're scrapping for a fourth place at the moment in the league, because ultimately they both had two different complaints, but both of them didn't get over the line for various reasons.
Yeah, the pitch didn't really help, did it, Gareth?
No, and I'm surprising too, Steve-O, because it's one of the best pitches in the country, and it always is. Just there was so much rain and it was heavy, and you could see that in the players and what they were trying to do. I thought, as you say, it was a good old-fashioned game where they were getting stuck in. They were doing, a lot of them were doing the dirty work as well. I mean, Cian Levy in the first half was exceptional. He was the one player in the both teams that looked as if it was going to unlock the door. Both seemed to kind of get the grips with him in the second half. Kevin Doherty, the happiest man in League of Ireland on Monday night after the result. He'll be absolutely delighted with that. Both probably shaded it. I was looking forward to seeing more goalmouth action. I mean, I think they're the two best keepers in the league. I wanted to see them basically show us that, but they didn't get an opportunity. It was just one of those games that both teams looked to be happy with the draw, but I don't think they were. They just didn't want to lose it more so than go and win it. They weren't committing enough players into the box. But again, half-decent game. Great on Monday night. And even this weekend, with all the games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's great to be able to see so many games.
It is indeed. It's going to be great to see the two top strikers in the league facing off on Friday night as well as St. Pat's take on Waterford at Richmond Park. We've got Pádraig Amond on 13 goals. He got an assist actually in the match against Derry City last weekend. And then we've got Mason Media on 12 goals. So it's still neck and neck. And in fact, just behind them, of course, Michael Duffy, we shouldn't leave out of the conversation, on 11. But it did get me thinking, Vinny, I was looking through the stats over the last number of years. Since Pat Hooban got 29 goals in that 2018 season for Dundalk, we've had one player breaking the 20-goal mark in the League of Ireland as a top scorer. Now, we leave out the 2020 season, of course, that was the pandemic and it was only a half season of games. But that's, what, six seasons, is it, across the since Hooban got the 29, we've had one player. Can you actually, can either of you name that player off the top of your head?
That one player broke 20?
Yeah.
Since then?
Yeah.
Since what?
Georgie Kelly.
Ah, there you go, Vinny. Well done. Yeah, Georgie Kelly, 21 goals
for
Bohemians.
Yeah.
But it just got me thinking, why have League of Ireland strikers just struggled to get, now I'm not saying you should be getting 25 to 30 goals, but even just to get past 20 goals, it's a little bit disappointing, isn't it?
I think there's two answers to that. Sorry, real quickly, Steve-O. Garrett, sorry. I think the champions being Rovers haven't got, Gaffney's been exceptional for them. Aaron Green's been very good, and so has gone back to Celtic, Johnny Kenny. But the way Rovers play, you don't feel like the centre forward's going to get, you know, 20 odd goals. It's slightly different. So therefore, the champions would, if you look over the last 20 years, Debo, I think the champions would have someone who'd be exceptional, whether it was Hooban, whether it was Shawnee Maguire for Cork, Richie Tell for Dundalk, or back the way down to Pats and different clubs over the years. So that's one thing. That's my answer to that one. And then when Garrett answered, I'll throw another one back. Like, we've had a lot of exceptional players, but even if you go back to them times, who's been the definite player of the year as well over the last 6 years? There hasn't been a definite player of the year. Like, when you go back to, I think the last one where you go, he's definitely the player of the year, I would say, sorry, is for Shamrock Rovers. When you think of it, you think of the way Richie Tell dominated the league, you think about Jack Bourne dominating the league. Mm. This year and the last couple of years, it's been a debate who's been the very best player in the league. You know, you could argue Paddy Barrett last year, you could argue a couple of different players. So it's really interesting. I'm not questioning the standard or anything, I'm just saying it's just different.
Gareth, your own views?
Yeah, I think it's a lot to do with the styles. If you think about when I came into the league early 2000s, I thought the styles was, I mean, it's completely different now to when they were playing back then. It was very direct. It was get it forward, two up front. The strikers were getting a lot more opportunities. So they were getting a lot more touches in the opposition box. They were getting knockdowns. people were going from back to front first. Now, again, can it be the coaching, the way people like to play, the Pep effect? Everybody wants to get 15 passes before they score the perfect goal. And I think the strikers are getting starved of opportunities. And I think if you speak to the strikers, they'll say that. And how many times have we seen Amund, Hooban when he played in the league, Mealy even at stages, looking behind him when he's in the halfway line saying to his team, get up the pitch. If I'm back here in the halfway line, how am I going to score a goal? So get up the pitch, win the ball high up the pitch, and give me a chance in the opposition box, or put somebody up beside me who can distract a couple of players. I can get a one-on-one and I can create the opportunity myself. So I think that's got a lot to play with. And then the goals are just distributed around the teams a lot more as well. I still think there's a massive void in centre half scoring enough goals. But strikers getting 20, I mean, they're only the two boys, Mealy and Amund, are on 13. For them to, and let's be honest, Amund is one of the best strikers I have ever seen in the league. And I don't mind saying that. He is top notch. Even at the age he is now, he's getting 13. And Mealy, I mean, how young he is, he's going to be one of the best we'll ever see. Hopefully he goes on and kicks on from here now. So that's what I think. I think it's more to do with styles and a lack of directness in teams' plays.
You know, Gareth, you would have seen Waterford last Friday, of course, playing against Derry City. Amund was playing in the game and eventually got the assist. Like, what did you make of that Waterford performance? Were you impressed, or how did you feel afterwards?
Very impressed. First 35 minutes, Waterford should have been two up. Derry were completely shell-shocked. They started the game really well. Front foot, didn't allow Derry to settle, just harassed them. Got the ball into the box, played quite direct. Got their couple of chances. Don't get me wrong, Marr was incredible. But Lawler, the manager, I think he said it afterwards, he can't fault his players. And not just the first 35 minutes, throughout the game. But again, Derry City did what Derry City have been doing all year. I think if you counted up five or six games where Derry City won by the odd goal, it was because of a mistake by the opposition. And Derry City done the same thing. Defensively, once Derry City go in front, I think they've got an 84% win rate. Once they go in front, defensively, in the way they're set up, it's very difficult to break them down. Now, when they go behind, they're also only for the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've struggled with that, but they've got a wee bit better at it. And again, on Friday night, they did that. But Waterford were good. There were a lot of good performances, really, really good performances. And they'll be disappointed, A, conceding the two sloppy goals, but B, not converting some of the chances they created.
Yeah, Vinny, I know, and I'm not speaking against Gareth's point, we all agree Amund has been one of the best players of the last couple of seasons, brilliant striker, and he's top of the goal charts for a reason. Just looking, though, he's only scored one in the last 10 games. They really need him to step up here for these last two matches, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. And I think some of that is down to the form and the team. You can only do so much on your own, to be fair. And Podge's movement is exceptional. He shouldn't be the top striker in the league in one sense, because he's at a club who's, you know, second from bottom or joint second bottom, really struggling, in bad form. They've had to change the manager twice because of that form. There should be somebody in the top clubs doing a little bit better than what they are, I would say. So people will say, well, the league has gone so competitive, maybe that's what it is. But I think we're short of a striker of exceptional talent. I think there's no doubt Mason Mealy ticks that box, but a young player can carry a whole team. Mason Mealy got Pat's Young Player of the Year in the last 48 hours. He should have got Senior Player of the Year as well for me. He's actually carried that team for long periods of the season. Start of the season was a little bit in and out. He had a bit of an injury, but for the second half of the season, Mason Mealy has been Pat's best player. Him aside, you know, Gaffney's had his issues around. Rovers haven't really had a centre forward that you feel can get close to that 20 mark. And, you know, that aside, there's nobody. Michael is playing in a strange position. He's playing really narrow for Derry. But Derry don't look like they've got someone who can get 20 goals. So there's a shortage of a centre forward, I would say, of real quality. There is some excuses to it, but not enough for me. Midfielders should be in the mid sort of teens as well, and we're not getting there, and that's a problem, I think.
Just on St. Pat's, Gareth, I don't, you watched the match on Monday anyway, but I kind of got a sense at the game that a bit like the last actual game at Dalian Park. They were almost happy to settle for the draw in the second half. I'm not sure if that came from the manager or if it was just the players, as Vinny said, maybe just feeling a bit leggy as he made no changes to the starting team from Friday night. Like, did you feel they were settling for a draw with a view to thinking, well, we've got Waterford Friday night at home, let's go for that game instead? And is there a bit of danger there from St. Pat's if that is the thinking?
Knowing Stephen Kenny, he would not have settled for a draw. He would have gone there full of confidence, especially after the Rovers result, and said, I want to take a win. I think that the performance of Bohemians and just throughout the game management and how well they were playing, they were really pushing them back. And the Pats players, when the other side gets on top of them like that, they don't respond in the right way. We're digging in. So I thought that during the game, Pats went, you know what, we'll be doing well an hour in if we just get a point from this. They never really, really pushed after that. So I think it was a decision during the game that they turned around and says, we're going to take a point. It's a dangerous game. I think they need three points on Friday night to make a real game of it, because it's going to go down to the wire. And 3-1s for me gets them into Europe, but I know it's in their own hands, but they needed 3 points on Monday night. And I think they started the game, Cian Levy in the first 30 minutes, 40 minutes was very good. And I think they started the game as if they say, we're going to go and win that. But Bowes just started to grind them down tactically, substitutions. They were just getting on top. And I think that's when Pats decided, you know what, a point's a good result.
About the game, Steve-O, is, sorry, I have to say, I thought Pat's defensively, that's the best you've played in a while. Schoberg, yes, there was that incident, but Schoberg was excellent in the game. But Grigorski, who I think is an exceptional footballer, but he needs, Pat's fans have been indifferent about him, particularly earlier on the season. But I think that was down to him being put into the team and taken out of the team. Manager wasn't sure whether it was him or Sean Hoare and different things. But I think in the run of games, Grigorski's done really well. Joe Redmond has been, again, up and down this season for someone with high quality. So I just think defensively, the two centre-halves and everything that were needed, whether that was down to Bowles with the false nine or whatever it is, the James Clark role. But Garrett touched on a point there. The reason Pats didn't play well was because of Bowles' performance. Bowles were excellent over-end them, particularly in midfield. Special mention for Keane Kavanagh, centre-half, Stephen. I think, again, he's a bit... Keane Byrne, very, very good. I thought the two centre-halves with Bowles were good. Again, I think they need a run at games. Mm. And there's been a lot of chopping and changes at centre-half for at Bowles at centre-half for different reasons as such. But it was such an interesting game that so much went on in it that, you know, Pats look so leggy in midfield. So leggy. Like, Chris Forrester going Friday, Monday. You have to... Like, you're talking about one of the great League of Ireland players of all time, technically, and what he's done on and off the pitch for Pats. He looked like going Friday, Monday was a challenge him. And then ironically, with 5-10 minutes to go, when the game opened up a little bit more, he had some flashes of brilliance. But that's probably one decision you'd have Stephen might look back and go, maybe should have changed that. Because the best player on the pitch Friday night against Shamrock Rovers was Barry Bagley.
Bagley, I was just about to say to you, I thought he was absolutely fantastic again. I thought in the two games, he's one of those midfielders, he's like a little dino, but he won't always get the credit maybe because, you know, I'd only use that phrase, unseen work, but do you know what I mean? Like, he just gets his head down, gets stuck in, and he's a very good passer as well.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
His energy levels.
I think it's because he's not making the Hollywood pass to say that a Chris Forrester would make, but he's making those really important key pass that brings the right player into the game next.
Yeah, and you can tell he's a technically very, very good player, and I really liked him at Waterford. He hasn't kicked on this year at Pats, and I think some of that's down to, like, Pats have lost 10 games of football, like a third of their matches almost they've lost. I mean, like, that's a lot of game of football to be losing. And it hasn't gone brilliantly for him, but I think there's a hell of a good player there. Technically, very good, good pass of the ball. Very like Adam O'Reilly in some ways, but actually, Adam is a little bit more sort of tenacious and gets around the pitch. And Adam, both of them married together would be an unbelievable footballer, because Adam could do with some of the technical ability that Bagley has. So I think Bagley's time will come at Pats, and it's a little bit like, where does Stephen use him? He's played him sort of in front of Forrester and Lennon. If he continues in that way, you may see him being one of the ones a little bit deeper over the next year for Pats. But I mean, we're looking at two teams chasing European football down, Stephen, and between them, they've lost 10 and 13 games of football this year, Bowles and Pats. It's really interesting. Like, and yes, it's a competitive league, but it's a hell of a lot of games of football to be losing in a season for teams that are, you know, chasing that sort of European honours. It really is. So it just shows you where we are as a league.
Well, another team in the hunt, Gareth, is Drogheda United. They essentially need to win their last two matches, you would have to feel. And one of those is against Galway United at AIM and DC Park on Friday night. As I mentioned, we'll have it live and exclusive on Off the Ball, on News Talk and on the Go Loud app. Like, winning at home against Cork City, a Cork City team without Shaunae Maguire, 1-0 last Friday. It's not great, is it, for Drogheda United, do you think, Gareth? Or would you be worried if you're a Drogheda United supporter?
No, I don't think I'd be worried. I mean, I said last week that I thought they were going to win the game comfortably. Obviously, 1-0, I saw the highlights, wasn't as comfortable as Kim would have liked, but it's still a one, and it's exactly what they needed. And even Galway winning their game now, joint 37 points, they'll be buzzing. So what they need to do is keep it alive to that last game between themselves and Waterford. It's a tough game. I mean, going to Galway is hard at the best of times. Going to Galway scrapping for relegation and needing every point is going to be really difficult. I can't see it being over 2.5 shout anyway, let's put it that way. But I think Galway will be pretty confident of Drogheda coming down there, going, you know what, it's going to be a physical battle, it's going to be gritty, and we're ready for it. Because if they were to pick up 3 points, I mean, what a position they will be in then after the season that they've had, going into that last game with the 3 point cushion on Sligo and Waterford.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, they're what, 50 points, so they need the two wins really to catch up with Shelburne there on 55, Bohemians on 51, and St. Pat's on 50. Galway United on the other end, Vinny, well, they've got 3 games left now to try and get themselves out of that relegation mire. They're all square, 37 points with Sligo Rovers and Waterford, but Galway United have that advantage of a much better goal difference than the two teams below them. So you could almost say that's worth a point to them. So, like, if they could make it 3 wins on the bounce, you give them a really good chance then of avoiding that relegation playoff place by beating Drogheda United.
Yeah, I would say they probably need, because of the goal difference, I think they probably only need to win one game and or maybe 4 points. It depends. Like, the advantage they have is, it's who do they play? Waterford and Drogheda.
And Shamrock Rovers.
And Shamrock Rovers. So, It feels like the 6 points there for them if they want it. Drogheda, obviously being a tough one, but the Waterford is going to be, so there's still going to be something to play for. But if you were 3 points ahead of Waterford heading into that game with a superior goal difference, that puts them in easy street. So, yeah, I think they've got a must win on Friday night. And I think if they win on Friday night, I think that'd be enough probably to avoid relegation playoffs. So, look, the likes of Walsh, Hickey, I spoke about it last week. I think they've got experience throughout the team. Jimmy Kwan, they have enough about them, I feel, even if they end up in the playoff. But I think they've enough about them to pick up 3 to 4 points. And I think that ultimately will be enough between now and the end of the season. So I think they'll be okay. The one on Friday, live on News Talk, is a huge game, I have to say. It's a huge game of football.
Yeah, it really is. And like, even just watching John Caulfield's post-match interview from Friday night after they beat Bohemians, Pat Hickey, of course, stepping up with a big goal in that game, Gareth, you could see he was almost like, he's just looking much happier the way he's carrying himself and all that kind of thing. So I'd imagine that's the kind of confidence that will then ooze through that Galway United dressing room for Friday night as well.
It's almost a bit of relief, Steve-O. He knows that going into that last game with the goal difference advantage, that was a massive, massive result. He would have probably, as all managers do and players even themselves, they look at where they're going to pick up points and where they're going to finish and what they need. Would he have kind of predicted 3 points at home to a Bowes team trying to qualify for Europe? Probably not. So it's a massive bonus for them. And as you say, they'll be jumping into that game. And not only that, having that game at home as well, it's a massive advantage. Home support, players familiar with the ground, bringing Drogheda there. And Drogheda, for me, and I know I touched on it earlier, Drogheda need to almost win the game. I think they've got to go. If it's 0-0 with 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go, they've got to go two up front. They've got to go for it. I don't think a draw does them any good. I think at this stage of the season for them, it's not enough. Whereas I think Galway, if they were to take a draw, they depending on how the game goes. But a win for Galway just almost seals their Premier Division status for next year.
Yeah, look, I feel Drogheda really need the 2 wins, Finney, as well, like as Gareth's touching on there. And like, what's Kevin Doherty's, I suppose, what's his kind of motivation for the players now in this coming last 2 games, because like they do have that hurt still from not getting into Europe from this year, and having spent a lot of time in the top 3, top 4 this season, like he won't want to let that slip away now, will he?
No, he won't. I think to be fair to Kevin and the group there, they seem to enjoy sort of being rolled off a little bit. They like that. They would play on, I don't mean in a cheap way, play on the emotion of Europe being taken off them, but there's a little bit of hurt there. They feel they're owed something, and there's an old saying, if you're good to the game be good to you. So you sort of would like them to at least win the 2 games, and if someone else beats them on the pitch, so be it. But I'd like to see them get to that 56 points and then see what happens. It's interesting, like, even in our own mindset, is the race to get the fourth, or is it to get the third? You know that way. Mm. I think it's usually important getting the second. If I'm not mistaken, that's the Europa League. If Rovers win the cup only, so I think it's important that you get someone like Shell to really go after that, and Derry really push and finish strong to get second. And then it's funny, we're nearly saying you need to finish fourth, aren't you? Because you think fourth's going to be good enough for Europe, but there's no guarantee of that until after the cup final. So.
Yeah, I really don't. I'm not kind of, I think this assumption now that fourth place is going to be okay is a bit mad, to be honest with you, because like, I know Shamrock Rovers, pound for pound, are a better team. They've got better players right across the board. But like, it's a cup final. Like, I remember Drogheda United against Derry City in last year's cup final. Like, that was, if Jaron Ash can pull something off like that, you know, who knows? Like, it's like you're not.
Steve-O,
like,
don't make me be enemy number one down the court. But
no, Vinny, you can't.
It's an 80-20 game, though.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, there's still
ahead of court.
There's still a 20% chance. Like, that's the thing. There still is a 20% chance. And Rovers have, you know, they haven't put away this league title now. They've had 3 shots and they still haven't put it away. They've got a big game against Derry City on Sunday. Like, they're going to have to play some good players that he might have liked to take out of the firing line ahead of the cup final. Like, it's just, I just think that this thing, people have an assumption that Cork City are not going to win the cup final and haven't got a chance, is just bananas.
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve, what you're saying. I mean, Drogheda and Derry were a different kettle of fish last year. I mean, Drogheda had comfortably beat Derry in the league a couple of times, and going into that, all wasn't well within Derry City. So I get it, but Shamrock Rovers and Cork is a different animal. 80-20 is probably about right. Bit generous on the Cork side. But it's of course, listen, if Shamrock Rovers aren't at it and Cork repeat the performance and the energy levels that they did in the semi-final against Pats, Shamrock Rovers are in a world of pain, absolutely. But you're talking about two different variables and the perfect storm almost. But the other thing is, Shamrock Rovers are losing games now. They're not used to losing games. God forbid Derry were to beat Shamrock Rovers on a Friday night, which is a bit of a long shot. But then you're all of a sudden you've lost four or five games in a row going into a cup final. I mean, that's not the form that you want going into a cup final. And Cork are showing a little bit of form as well. I don't know whether Shawnee is going to be wrapped up until a cup final, but they'll need all their best players firing on all cylinders, no doubt about it.
Come here, Gareth. Winning the league with five games to go is not for everybody, you know. You have to. No, and here, the other thing on Cork,
Steve, is... not Carvinny.
It's a big sunroof for the big head. No, but the other thing on Cork is, that's the only thing that disappointed me about the performance against Drogheda, Steve-O, is that... you can't switch it on and off in football, particularly as a player. You can't. Gareth will tell you more than me. He played at a higher level in the league than I did. You can't. That roller coaster doesn't work. You've got to be building towards something. And this thing of resting people ahead of a cup final, I get it. Whether it's a suspension, whether it's a niggle injury here, but history tells me that turn up the cup final in good form. Because if you don't, you can't switch it on. You cannot switch it on.
Vinny, you know, and we've all watched Shamrock Rovers recently in the league especially. Shamrock Rovers are off it. They're off at 5-10%. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and the Rovers thing is slightly different, Gareth, because Lopez and Grace missing out a back three is huge. Huge. Like, Matthews was very good in the Shells game, but there's uncertainty with Matthews, with Corey Sullivan. Dan Cleary's off it because he hasn't got his two buddies beside him. Josh Hoonan's missing out a wing-back position. Rovers need to get
Danny
them back
playing well.
Ahead of the cup final. Danny Grant is missing. Mm. So out of back five, they're missing effectively all of them bar Dan Cleary. And they need to get them and play. And I think Lopez will be fine. Obviously, he great news for him and a brilliant, amazing week for him. But he'll be okay. Grace is back on the bench. And you feel like a game or two and a good European game, they come into the cup final bouncing, where Cork are just a little bit chopping and changing. And that would concern me a little bit. To try, like, get there, arrive there, one or two big wins, at least one big win between now and the cup final.
So how did they approach Sligo Rovers on Saturday night then, Vinny? Like Sean McGuire left on the bench last week. Does he start? Or is he wrapping him in cotton wool? What's the story?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Yeah, and I accept that if Shawnee got injured, or touch wood, or all of that stuff, people would be going, that was nonsense. No, they've got to go and get a win. They've got to arrive in good form. You cannot switch it on the day and not play well for a month before that. It happened Dundalk in 2019. We didn't play well in the cup final. They won the league, as I said earlier on, genuinely joking. I know some people would take everything I say literally, but they won the league, switched off, we weren't at it, it was hard, 4 or 5 games, you're trying to be giving people a run, you turn out the cup final and you don't play your best football. And it's happened to other teams over the years. It just doesn't happen that way. You wrap people up in cotton wool, got to be careful. 100%, if Shawnee's carrying some sort of a niggle, just get him right for the cup final. He'll turn up and he'll produce it. But the rest of the team have to be at it, and you cannot mess about. I wanted to use a worse word than that. You cannot. You must get there in good form, particularly Cork, as opposed to Shamrock Rovers will be fine. Our best players know what it takes on the day, but Cork have to go. And I think they've got to target Sligo as a winnable game, and then maybe you could take the foot off the pedal next week.
No, funny you say that, Vinny. See, as a player, right, and if you're rested or you've got a niggle and stuff like that, and I know it sounds mad, see if you don't have a match for a 2-week period, It is the worst thing in the world. And I know you're not going to lose loads of fitness or anything like that, but see sharpness and that natural instinct of whether it be defending, whether it be getting the ball first in midfield or sticking the ball away as a striker. You lose it within 2 weeks. I think he goes strong against Sligo and then plays the cup final team against Derry at home in the final game, and then goes into the final game, everybody knowing exactly what they were doing, so that it's almost like muscle memory. You're just rolling on it, and it's just another game. Because if you build it up to something that it's not, especially with a young squad like Cork, you could be looking at them looking at the stars and the lights and the big stadium and the TV cameras and all that. You do not want that.
Okay.
But you know what the fear now is, Gareth, and coaches, is that they think if I play the right team against Derry, it's almost giving the Rovers an insight into what we're going to do. This is how we're going to. This is the person who have the mark. This is this. This is this. And it's actually overthinking it. Rovers are going to know Cork inside out. They're going to have the whole lot of it done, dusted. There is going to be, like, Cameron Rovers will leave no stone unturned when it comes to Cork City.
Yeah.
None. Mm-hmm. So forget it's... that. Then the days of hiding stuff are over.
I would rather have the players at it 100% than Shamrock Rovers know the team or know what the setup.
Yeah.
Because Saturday night is Sligo Rovers, probably it is their best chance to get 3 points before the end of the season, but they've lost back to back, like against good sides as well, like obviously losing 3-1 against Shelburne. That was a big defeat, Gareth, for Sligo Rovers. But would you still have faith that John Russell can do something over these last two games for them?
Yeah, and again, I think John Russell's smart enough to be able to look and go, you know what, Shells are absolutely bang at the minute. They just caught them in a crest of a wave. They were brilliant against Shamrock Rovers. So he'll look at that game going, you know what, 3-1 defeat, probably what we didn't want, but what we expected. So he'll be going on to it. And that's a wonderful thing about Sligo. Even last year, even after a heavy defeat, they came and played the same way. There was the fearlessness that John Russell gives the players. I think they're playing well enough to be able to go and beat Cork. Again, is it the timid Cork that's keeping themselves to the cup final that shows up? I think he'll smell blood and he'll try and go and get the 3 points that they need. Because if they were to win and Galway to pick up a one, it becomes really difficult then for Waterford. So Sligo will be going bang up for the 3 points this weekend. I think you'll see, even if it's a draw, with half an hour to go, 20 minutes to go, there'll be a lot of positive changes from John Russell.
Yeah, it's so hard to call any of the games. Like, it really is. Just Friday and Saturday, there's so much tension around the league. Vinny, just moving on to Sunday, you've got two games on Sunday. Now, like, you have to say, incredible stuff from Stephen Bradley and Glenn Cronin, the Rovers head coach and assistants. Over 30,000 they've raised already for the Children's Cancer Charity, which of course is close to Stephen's heart because of all of the work that they did as his son Josh was getting better and on the mend, and thankfully he is, and he got to ring the bell and everything this year. It's been brilliant stuff, and what a story. Oscar's Kids is the name of the charity, and I'm sure you can find the link if you want to donate some money to Stephen Bradley and Glenn Cronin there. But they're running the marathon on Sunday, and then it's a 46 minute helicopter ride to the Brandywell to take on Derry City. Like, this is going to be, it's going to be hugely tense for Stephen and Glenn. I know Stephen Bradley was saying he wasn't too, he was more nervous about the helicopter ride. But how's that going to impact on their preparation and the game itself on Sunday?
I would say to you that if it was any of the bottom three clubs or even those chasing Europe, certain amount of clubs, I would say to you, my advice would be to the manager, don't do it. I think the difference is, when you look at Shamrock Rovers, you look at the experience of the group, you look at everything about them, you look what they need to do to just finish off this league title, you think they'll be fine. Their players will know what to do, know how to manage themselves. And I just think the experienced group will be fine. For Bradzer and for Glenn, it is just it is a bit of a mad day for them. They won't be at their very best mentally and physically on the sideline, that's just a given. But I think they've enough about them in their group that it shouldn't take away from what they are and what they will be, whether that's this Sunday or the following week. They'll eventually get the job done. So it is what it is. I wouldn't read too much into it. I think if they lose, people may have the odd slight comment here and there, but I just think it'd be nonsense. Best of luck to them, and they're probably right doing what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Derry City, what's the view up there, do you think, of this Rovers game on Sunday, Gareth? Like, it's a weird one because everybody's saying, look, you know, Rovers have the title wrapped up. So, and Derry City look like you have second wrapped up as well. Is there any point in playing the match, really?
Well, this is it. I mean, Tierney Lynch's team talk becomes very easy. Look at these boys arriving in a chopper. Let's get rubbed out of them. That's the easy part for Tiernan. But I have to say to you, Derry City's record against Shamrock Rovers and the Brandywell is not good. They've only won one in the last 14, and it's really poor. So Tiernan will know that. He'll be saying, let's put this right. Forget about this season. You're right. The title's wrapped up, but let's put a marker down for next season. I think that's what they'll be looking at. And I think when you think about the league season, the way it's gone, Derry have been beat twice and drawn with Shamrock Rovers. If they had have overturned one of those matches, so one of the defeats turned it into a win, we'd be sitting joint top. So, and it's kind of gone like that for the last 4 or 5 years. Their record against Shamrock Rovers is not good. And if they're looking to push on and take the next step to win a league title, beating Shamrock Rovers, either home or away, needs to become a priority. So, listen, the team talk will be easy. It'll be a good atmosphere. I think you can see both teams settling for a draw. When you think about it, Derry really only need a draw now, and then a win against Cork to cement European competition. They'll want to finish second because of the Europa League, but great day for Glenn Cronin and Stephen Bradley. So I wish them all the best in raising the money, but hopefully they get turned over after the marathon.
They're guaranteed.
He's called them two big time Charlies there underneath that all. He just hasn't got the coronies to say it.
Listen, Vinny, we do have only a few minutes left, so don't want to leave the last game unspoken. Bohemians against Shelburne Dalymount Park, like, what an atmosphere it's going to be there for that game. What a game it's going to be. Every time I see Bohemians playing these days, it looks like they're trying to walk the ball into the net, say Arsene Wenger style Arsenal back in the mid 2000s, and I just feel like that's going to be not quite the tactic that's going to work against this Shelburne team, which defends really well. But then you've got Shelburne going to Macedonia to play in Europe on Thursday night. Is that going to affect them? How do you see this one panning out, Vinny?
It is a difficult one to call. I think I really like what Balls have about them, but ultimately they're not creating enough goal scoring chances. I know the point you're making about walking at the net. I just don't think they're creating enough goal scoring chances. They're not, they're not missing sitters. They're not overplaying in certain areas. I think that last bit of the game, the last third, is sort of, Connor Parsons the other day, he wasn't at his very best. Connor Parsons is one of them players, he's streaky when he comes on. I've seen him be brilliant. But Mixon looks probably a better player to me from a starting point of view. James Taylor, still leaving question marks for me. I think he's an exceptional footballer. But again, he's 5 or 6 goals over the course of the season.
He hasn't played the last two, Vinny.
So he hasn't played the last two, but he's played 20-odd matches this season, Stephen. Like, if you're going to be a top striker, you have to be
top on the striker pitch.
Score. Yeah, but you have to score goals. I mean, he's been on the pitch, I don't know his exact stats, he's been on the pitch more than 20 times this season. And his returns aren't great, whether it's for draw or balls. I still think he could score a lot of goals. If he is what the 2 years think he is, then he should be at least level with the lads on 10, 12 goals. But we'll see that one play out.
The thing about that, Vinny, if you look at the two goals that Douglas Taylor scored, remember the one he took off the throw-in and wrapped it under the top corner, and the other one he turned in the edge of the box and put it under the bottom corner? He's not getting headers or tap-ins from 2 yards out. To me, the wingers and the fullbacks aren't doing enough to get the ball into the box. It's a lot of back and forth.
For which club? Both. All right.
Yeah, both. Okay. I mean, and even Glenn Whelan, Whelan, the other striker.
Colin Whelan,
He's not missing a load of chance. And this comes back to the whole 20 goal a year striker. These boys are not getting peppered, and then they miss one chance out of 4 chances, and they're ridiculed because they're not good enough. They're just not getting the ball.
I'm not saying they're not good enough. I haven't said that, so that's not fair. What I'm saying is, go and take the league by the scruff of the neck, some striker. If James Taylor is as good as we all think he is, finishing the season with 10, 12 goals, isn't good enough for us. Four, five, six goals not good enough, and it won't be good enough for Bowles next season. Can he end up somewhere between 12 and 20 goals? I think he can, but he's got to do it now. He's got to do it. He's got to start next season, and he's got to be that one that takes them from. Bowles have lost 13 games of football, Stephen. So it's not all at the striker's fault. 13 games of football this season. So,
yeah, and I think that goes back to the point.
To win some of them games, strikers have to go and get two. You've got to win some of them 3-2, yeah. 4-3. That's fine, but they're not winning enough games of football. 13. It's not good enough.
And look, you guys made the point about the number six that Bowes probably need for next season, which probably plays into that one as well. Listen, Shelburne fans, we didn't get enough time to give your team a bit of love, but don't worry, we'll come back to you next week. You'll have another European
second
game.
Second best team in the league anyway, Steve.
Okay. Relax yourself. Look at the league title, boss.
We'll discuss that more.
Next week. Lads,
thanks a million. Don't forget, if you want to go to the Sugar Club for our League of Ireland Roadshow with Off the Ball, it's offtheball.com/events. Thank you for listening, and we'll chat to you next week.
The League of Ireland Pod
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.